Last week, we were discussing some shilas of geiris that you're likely to encounter, and in particular, the geiris of ketanim, where you have the shaila of the ger katan, being matbilen osel al das beisdin. And we discussed the different standards where some people were makel, and they said that to be a yid is always considered a zechus, and if it's always a zechus, so even if the child is going to be raised not religious. But Rav Moshe rejected that, and certainly the Paiskim and Eretz Yisrael rejected as well. And they say that the heter of being Megaya Reger Katan, which is based on the rule of Zachin Liyadim Shalai Bafanav, that we can give somebody a zechus, even though they're not a bar das to be makabel, presupposes that they're going to be raised l'chol apachas in an environment of shmiras mitzvah. So you're going to face a lot of situations like this. And I'll tell you, it's a big issue. If you're a principal in a day school and you're trying to accept, determine which students get accepted or not, sometimes as a principal you make the decision. And other times there's a vada rabbanim or a vada chinuch, right? There's going to be a question of who makes those decisions, but there's going to be difficult decisions. I think I had mentioned last week that sometimes schools will literally accept goyim mamish. They will accept children of conservative conversions. It's not even a shaila of an Orthodox based in. On the tzad, that eventually the kid will want to keep mitzvahs, so we'll either be megayer them as a ger katan, which is very problematical if the parents themselves are conservative, but theoretically it might be done, or we'll wait till the girl or the boy is bas or bar mitzvah, in which case they can do their own geiris. That too is difficult if they're still living at home. But even if the best intentions of the school, things sometimes backfire, and kids graduate the school who are halachically goyim. It actually happens. I think I told you last week, the valedictorian of the Hebrew Academy of Washington, one year happened to be a goy. And they didn't know what to do about it. Baruch Hashem, she was misakin. She actually was megayer kahalacha a few years later. But for a while, they were worried that she would use her Hebrew Orthodox high school diploma as a raya that she was Jewish, and that could create a lot of problems. Tonight, we're talking about something, we're going to talk about something even earlier than ger katan. We want to talk about, this is actually, again, it's a very, very interesting area of halacha. It may not be something you'll face all the time, but some aspects of it you will face, even in normal kiruv. That is the issue of various assisted reproductive techniques. People have children in many ways today, and sometimes it's just variations of husband's sperm and wife's egg, different combinations, and other times you have third parties involved. Sometimes the third parties are yidden, sometimes they're goyim, sometimes they're kroivim, and very, very interesting and serious shilas that get involved with all of these inyanim. You might have a variation of this, a single woman who wants to have children in various ways, and she may come to you for an etza. So one needs to at least know generally some of the parameters here. First of all, let me just bring out a very important pesach of Shlomo Zalman. We know that infertility is, of course, for a married couple, it's a sad thing, and it's a difficult thing, and that's even if you're not religious at all. In the general world, it is a tzara, and among from Yidden, it's even much more of a tzara. We know, of course, Chazal tell us that there was a reason why the mice were akaris. Sarah was an Akara for so many years, and Rivka and Rachel. And Chazal say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the Imais Akarais? So the Gemara in Yavama says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Misaveh L'Tfilasan Shel Sadikim. The Eibishter is Misaveh for Tfilah. Now this is a tremendous Chiddush. Actually, it's a tremendous Chiddush, and it's a very deep Chiddush, and it raises a difficult question in Hashgafa. Because here is the thing. You might have thought, no, person has emunah. Whatever Hashem does, komad avid rachmanu l'tav avid. Person doesn't have children. So the pshat is, I'm makabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezeira bi'av. I accept, I'm smechem bi'asurin. So what taka would have been if Sarah Imenu, Avraham Avinu would have said, we're makabel, this is the gezeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not mahaher achar midaysev shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So besides the fact that there wouldn't be an Am Yisrael, whatever, but besides that little minor point, but she would have missed the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Tzara because he wanted to have the connection of Tefillah. So for carrots, When a person has a tzara, the attitude, l'chatchila at least, should not be, I accept. The attitude should be, I'm using this as a springboard to be makasher myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's misadha for my tefillah. Now, at some point, it is brought down that at a point that we're, this is actually machlekes too, but many say, at a point that where biderech hateva, there's no eifin of hatzala, mimeila, at that point, generally speaking, many feel, many paiske, many gedolim say, one is not nispalo for a nes nigla. So b'chiyai gavna, at that point, your avaida is to be makabel. But, and some say even then, he continued to daven, okay, but that's already a machlekes. But certainly, until you reach the point where it takes a nes nigla, the avaida is fakir, to be mispalo. The Chiddush Yerim says that this was the curse of the Nachash. The Nachash was cursed. Afar Teichal Kol Yemei Chayecha. You will eat dirt all of your life. So frek the Chiddush Yerim. What's the curse? Plenty of dirt around. He says the curse is you'll never have a reason to turn to Hashem b'tefillah. It's like you say to somebody or say to your family, give this guy whatever he wants. I don't want to see his face. I don't want to talk to him. That's a richak. They tell a maisa, I think it may even be a true story. They tell the story about a teenager, a 16-year-old kid, whose mother died, and the father married a second wife. And the second wife, for some reason, had a hatred to this kid. She said to the husband, either him or me. Well, the husband made a decision, which I don't think we would agree with, but he made the decision that he had to stay married to this woman. So he calls the kid over. He's a wealthy man. He gives him a car, keys to a car. He gives him a credit card. He gives him an apartment. He says, I'm going to give you $2,000 a month plus my credit card, an apartment and a car. You can have everything you want, but I can never see you again. So on one hand, you'd think superficially, this is a teenager's dream. I got an apartment and a car and a credit card without my parents not bothering me. But you see what a brachana, richuk it is. Sometimes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you everything you want without tefillah, it's maybe a sign of a richuk, like the nachash. Yeah.
The Gemara is not dafka by
food. Not dafka by what?
Why
are
you wrong this?
Yeah.
The
Chari is by every tzor, that's the insight. Now, as I say, but once it takes Neis Nigla, then it's a different Avaida. This is a Maisa I heard from Rabbi Yaakov once, that there was a family that had a child who was dying of a genetic disease. It may have been Tay-Sachs, I don't remember. And they were schlepping the child all over the world for medical care and going to every tzaddik, every gadol for a bracha. So they come to Rabbi Yaakov. Now they're broken, they're suffering. And Rav Yaakov looks at the child and looks at the parents and says, may you have nachas from your other children. So people were shocked. Literally, there were a lot of people there. They were just shocked. They could not believe what looked like insensitivity and cruelty. But you know what the parents said? The parents said, the child died very shortly afterwards. They said they were very makir tov because Rav Yaakov was telling them, there's a reality check here. At some point, you have to understand the matzav. At some point, for the child himself, let him be at home his last weeks. But derech hateva, there's nothing you can do anymore. So you run from place to place to place, tirif hadas, and the child is not, in his room with his toys, whatever it is. He says Rav Yaakov's very shocking remark made them realize that this was a different level of avoda at this point. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this in is the following. Today, we have many, many eifanim where fertility can be achieved without a nes nigla. We have all sorts of scientific technologies, in vitro fertilization, egg donation, sperm penetration. Well, I'll describe what some of these things are. In fact, Eretz Yisrael is actually a pioneer in a lot of these ways. The technology here is better in some ways than even the United States. And the insurance is more generous here than it is in the United States. Having kids is like an optional zach, so it's very difficult to get insurance for fertility here. Baruch Hashem, it's covered by the Kupat Chalims in various ways. But there's a very chashuv psak from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, the chiyuv of Piriyah Verivyah is not mechayev surgical interventions to have a child. The Torah creates an obligation only if it's kederech kol ha'aretz. Now, that's especially true since most of the surgeries is on the woman anyway, who doesn't have a chiyuv. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, as a general proposition, even if it would be a chiyuv on the man and the woman, there is no chiyuv to undergo surgery for this. Now, once again, many people, probably most religious people, will go through tipulim one way or the other because of the inyan of having a child, but nevertheless, and you know, the desire to have a child, but it's important to know that it's not an absolute chiyuv. So if a person is sfarmatid, if a person is exhausted, if a person is hurting after all of this procedure, they do have to know. Al pi halacha, they're allowed to stop, and they're not considered to be mevatel the assay of piravir. It's a very important psak of Shlomo Zalman Aruch. So let's go over some of the different ways people could have kids, and let's see which ways would be matim to piravirivya and halacha, and which ways would be possibly keneged halacha. The oldest way of having children, other than derech kol haaretz, obviously, but this goes back to the 19th century and even much earlier, is artificial insemination. Now, artificial insemination simply means that if that sperm is injected in the woman's body, and fertilization occurs in the woman's body. Now, there are two types of artificial insemination, and obviously this is going to be a tremendous chiluk. There is artificial insemination with husband zera, and that's actually called AIH, artificial insemination of husbands. But then there are all sorts of sperm banks in the world. That's artificial insemination of donor, which is called AID. Now, let's first look at some obvious points, although the obvious is has interesting machloksim. If a woman wants to have a child and the husband, for whatever reason, is infertile, so she wants to know, can I be impregnated with artificial insemination from a donor? Can I go to a donor and get impregnated? So erstens, it's obvious that whether this is going to be much or us, and I'll talk about that in a moment, it's certainly not going to help Lagabi Piri of Arabia, because it's a devar pashut. If the woman is having a child from another man, that's not considered to be the husband's. And even if they adopt the child, unless you follow Rav Shlomo Kluger's Das Yochid, that you're Makayim Pruer Revu by being Megadol Yosem V'Yosayma, Abadera Klal, and adopt the child, there's not a key in the Piri Viribia. So AID certainly does nothing for Piri Viribia. That's obvious. But the question is, a woman wants to have a child, is it mutter? So here we have a very, very meforsome machlekes between Rav Moshe, this goes back to the 1960s, and the Satmar Rav, of all people. This was not about Zionism and not about Eretz Israel, a totally different, I know you talked about Zionism before, but a totally different issue. The Satmar Rav took a very, very strict, although logical position. Zuck the Satmar Rav, if a Jewish woman is impregnated with the zera of a man other than her husband's, even though there's no maisa bia, she is a mezane beratzen, meaning she's forbidden to stay married to her husband. She has to be divorced. She's a saita. And number two, the child that is born from AID is halachically a mamzer. And Mimela, it's very, very strict, right? So that's the Satmar's position. The two consequences. She's asura labaila, and the child is a mamzer. Rav Moshe, huh?
That's Pasha's coming off the Pasuk, Sheikh Vasa Zera.
Yeah, the Sheikh Vasa Zera itself.
Zera in the Pasuk itself.
Why is it a Zenus?
There's no mice as Zenus.
Well, he says the definition of Zenus is that she absorbs the Zera of a man other than her husband.
Even though there's no mice.
That's what Satmar Rav says. Now, Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe has no fewer than four different tshuvas. Some of them are short, some of them are long, where Rav Moshe says very, very stark that a woman is never neaseres al baila unless there is bia, whether it's bia kadarka or bia shalo kadarka, but the injection of zera alone is not a pu'ula of bia to asur her labaila. Now that's very mistavra. The second is a bigger chiddush a little bit. And Rav Moshe Taina is, the child is not a mamzer, because the chefza of mamzeris is toloi not on the mitzias. See, one might have thought mamzeris was a mitziastic thing. In other words, the child of a man other than her husband. Zakt Rav Moshe, what makes somebody a mamzer is not that he's the child of somebody other than her husband. What makes the child a mamzer is that there was a pu'ula of bias iser with somebody other than her husband. And Rav Moshe said very, very stark, therefore, the child's not a mamzer. Now, he's still not his kid. In other words, he's not Makai Puru Ravu, but the child's not a mamzer. Ah, now, this was at the time, you know, Satmar B'chlal is a relatively militant. When they have something they don't like, they, you know, they take to the streets a little bit. So Rav Moshe was, you know, burnt in effigy. You know, they had different machas, all sorts of things. In fact, if you ever read the biographies of Rav Moshe, in Art Scroll or whatever it is, they're meramis to this a little bit. They'll say a person who was very involved in insulting Rav Moshe came to him for a kabbalah and shechita. You know, it's starting. Rav Moshe gave him a kabbalah and shechita, and the family said, "How could you do this?" You know, he was so insulting. Mm-hmm. And Rav Moshe says, "I was meichelim by Yom Kippur." So what's shayach me to have a grudge? The background behind those stories is he was probably a Hasidic Shiite who was involved in these machos against the Igros Moshe. And Rav Moshe wrote four tshuvas defending his position, but there's a lot of nuances we need to discuss. Rav Moshe Tainis, now some say this made it even worse, but you'll see. Rav Moshe Tainis, even if AID, right, I can use the Rashi Tavis, even if AID does not create mamzeris, and it does not make a woman a surah labayla, there is another problem why AID should be usher, and that is there's a chashash of incest with unknown craving. What's the pshat? The pshat is, here you have an anonymous sperm donor, and maybe let's call them Reuven. Huh?
If it's anonymous, and how can we say it's a mamzer even for the Satmar Rav? It could be we go after Rav and Rav is going.
That might be so, but you're correct. You're correct. I mean, the Satmar Rav basically said it would be mamzer only if it's a Jew. That's correct.
If we know it's a Jew, so then we should know who it came from. It's anonymous, but we know it's a Jew.
Well, that's possible. Let me go over the background. I didn't discuss what happens if it's a guy yet. That'll be part of Rav Moshe's tshuva. So the problem Rav Moshe says is what? That a brother might marry a sister, right? A brother might marry a sister because boy is born from the AID, and he might marry his sister who was born from the same donor, either b'derech hateva or through another donation. And we find that Chazal were chayshesh for the possibility of kraven, because that is why a widow or a grusha has to wait 3 months, because otherwise we're not sure if it's a ben zayin l'rishon, a ben zayin l'sheni, or ben tes l'rishon, and there's a chashash of ach naisei achayse. Now, this is not an empty chashash, by the way. You might think, oh, it's very rachuk. You know, in the Washington area, there was a fertility doctor who happened to be Jewish. This is Taka. He happened to be Jewish. And he had a very unusual rate of success. Like all of his patients, all of the women he treated had kids. And, like, you know, it was like 3 times the success rate of any other doctor in the whole country. And they discovered that the pshat is he just augmented everything with his own zera, so he was always successful. Because he was a fertile person, so these demographers or statisticians calculated. So there was something like he fathered like 100 children, a whole bunch of talk of a big mishpacha. so they calculated that the odds. Of siblings marrying were like, you know, 20%. Like, it's very interesting. Apparently, most people in general society marry people within a radius of 10 miles of their parents' house. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And they were really cheshbainous about how this would work out and the like. So here's what Rav Moshe said as a chiddush, and this will address what you said. Rav Moshe said, if there's no problem of mamzeris, but the problem of a Jewish donor is ach naisei achaisei, so Rav Moshe Tainis, that if the donor is a goy, you have neither problem. You don't have mamzeris, but Rav Moshe holds there's no mamzeris even if it would be a yid. And Rav Moshe says you don't have a problem, at least halachically, genetically you might have a problem, You don't have a problem of a brother marrying a sister, because, once again, if an Eved Kechavim impregnates a Jewish woman, the Eved Kechavim has no yichus to the child. So we don't really care if that guy had a child from a Jewish woman or that guy had a child from a non-Jewish woman. In other words, it makes no difference what type of child that guy may have had, but this guy has no paternity with respect to the Jewish child from this woman. So Rav Moshe came up with, at first glance, that sounds like a very bit of a startling idea. He says, if a woman is mitzta'eres harbe, and she feels a real emotional need to have a child, so she is allowed to be impregnated with artificial insemination from a goy, and in America, l'chala paches, we assume al pi rov that it's a goy. Now, the Satmar Rav actually agrees with that. In other words, when the Satmar Rav says mamzeris, he was vadai talking about a Jew. On the other hand, let me point out that the Satmar Rav did say if she gets impregnated from the zera of a goy, she's mezana with a goy, which is considered to be a very, very chomer avera. So the Satmar Rav would not give the eitz of this. It's only because Rav Moshe says it's not a bias iser that Rav Moshe tainas to be married with a guy. So the last tshuva Rav Moshe wrote after Satmar, you know, did all sorts of things, very, very strange, and so it's hard to know what this means in halacha. Rav Moshe said in his last little tshuva, short tshuva, that he's correct, the halacha is like he said, but he is withdrawing his psak. Now, it's not clear what that means, because the chayra, the way we normally understand the halachic system, you don't need the psak. In other words, if the lundus is there, if the paisek says there is no iser bedavar, you don't need his reshus to go ahead. In other words, Rav Yashiv couldn't say so much that something is mutter, but I don't allow you to do it. It's not clear what the mechanism of that is. So at least officially, Rav Moshe did withdraw his psak, but in the same tshuva where he withdrew his psak, he actually said, I'm not chayzer on anything I said. I'm withdrawing it from Lamaisa, but I'm not chayzer on anything I said. Okay.
Is that only now, because of the pressure from Satmar?
It's hard to know. It's hard to know.
Yeah.
Huh?
So it's very good. You can take it as face value.
Well, which thing that is not which thing are you taking?
That's the halacha. So if that's hamtzak, was it echami? That's the halacha.
It's very clear. Moshe said that's the halacha. The question is, it's hard to understand.
That was the shayla. So that was the shayla.
You're right.
Well, okay. Now let me just say that the Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael. I want to point out that the Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael. We think of the Satmar Rav as an extreme position. But the Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael take his lumbus at least as a suffix. I mean, Rebbe Yashiv does consider AID with a yid, and in Eretz Yisrael that would be the Rov, as a suffix mamzeris. He's maskim that she's not Asura Labayla, because Asura Labayla is, she has to be Mazana. But also mamzeris, he does say it's a suffix mamzeris. And Lagabe impregnation with a goy, even though Avada, that avoids mamzeris, that type avoids mamzeris. But the Paiskim here, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, you should be well. They all have a lashon that this is mechuar hadavar ma'aid ma'aid. It's a repulsive miyastik azach that you should be a woman should be a firm woman, a Jewish woman should be machnis the zera of an eved kechavim into her guf. I mean, good. Sometimes you have an issue where the whole is worse than the sum of the parts. Meaning, yeah, okay, goy is no mamzeris, and goy is no ach no seyachosa. But there's something broader here, that you're not machnas. In fact, it's interesting, so the Paiskim here are b'chlal not in favor of AID, and the Emma says, it's not clear that Ramesha was in favor of it. Ramesha said, if a woman is very, very desperate, and the like, yeah.
I thought the Gemara doesn't pass like that it's a problem with siblings marrying. You just said it is a takanasa, the zera would be on a high level.
No, we do paskin like that reason.
That's surprising.
We do paskin that one of the reasons, at least one of the reasons of Havchana, is that you shouldn't have ach no say achoso. Another issue is Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses, and this is actually very nogeya in Rav Moshe as well. If a girl is conceived from an AID, from a goy, can she marry a kohen? That actually is a very serious shaila. This is actually a little known halacha, but it is a halacha. Sometimes, for some reason, Rabbanim don't realize this. If a non-Jewish man has relations with a Jewish woman, and they have a daughter, she's Jewish. She's not a mamzer, but the halacha is she's not allowed to marry a kohen. Again, a lot of people, for some reason, the reason why some people don't know this halacha is because it's in a very strange place in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the wrong siman. There's a siman in the Shulchan Aruch about noshim who are not allowed to marry kohanim, and this halacha doesn't appear in that siman. It's like two simanim ahead of time, before that. But it's also a strange halacha because it is the only one of the asura l'kahuna, which b'di'evit, if she got married, she could stay married. In other words, Oved kechavim v'evit abal bas Yisrael, bitay paguma l'kahuna, but v'im nisei slo teitzei. Very unusual.
That's the only one?
That's the only one. Every other one.
Say
again?
No.
If a woman... If a woman herself is mezana with a goy, she's a zayna da'iraisa, she vadai cannot marry a kohen, and even b'di'evit, if she married a kohen, it's going to be teitzei. No. This is not the woman herself. In fact, that's the big issue with Balei Tshuva getting married to kohen. That's even b'di'evit a problem. Although, achar hamaisa, maybe she's not believed. That's another thing. But this is a different thing. This is talking about the woman is not mezana. The woman's mother is a Jewish woman who is mezana with a goy or even raped by a goy. So lechatchila, she cannot marry a kohen. So the shaila is going to be, what would happen in Rav Meisha's case? If there was AID, is she asura lekahuna? That would be nogeya too. All right, so Rav Meisha and Rav Shlomo Zalman are actually mekel. They actually say that such a woman could even marry a kohen. Others are machmer, but Yashiv is machmer, right? So that's a kind of a secondary level question. About is she allowed to marry a kohen? By the way, this creates awful complications now. I'll tell you because I'm even involved in some of this because these are ripple effects of various giurim l'chumra. I'll give you an example of how things have all these ripple effects. There was a man whose mother converted 50 years ago with an Orthodox basin. And the man thought he was a born Jew. And he was raised a frum Jew. And now he has a daughter. And the daughter wants to get married. Now, the problem basically is the man undergoes a giur l'chumra because maybe there's something wrong with his geiris. So now it turns out that her father was a goy, even though she's Jewish. So now all of a sudden she discovers when she's 25 she's not allowed to date a kohen.
The mother was Megala before he was born or after he was born?
No, I'm sorry. The mother was... His mother... Yeah, his mother was married before he was born.
Okay, so...
But now they say there's some Shaila in his mother's geiras, so he should be Megala again. But if he's Megala again after his daughter was born, then it turns out that the daughter, Misafek, might have a father who's a goy, in which case... Although she vada was born Jewish because her mother is Jewish, but she might not be.
The son
is right. The son is a suffix.
Two
sages.
Some going here and something
well, that might be. In other words, there is a good. I didn't want to pass him off. I said you have to ask a daylam, but there is certainly in Lumdus there is a makam to say that if you're mekel in the suffix im nisei sleitetse, so you're not machriyed as a vada yisser. Then l'chayr, when you have a suffix, if the father is a goy or a yid, l'chayr, there might be a makom to matter it in that case, because it's a suffix really on an isser d'rabbanan. In other words, the isser is really an isser d'rabbanan. There is lumbus for that, but you know you need. Don't paskin that. No, it's good for you to have the lumbus. I mean, you go see Rav Yashiv or whoever, you know, mention what you said. But he should be the one But all I'm saying is that the idea of Giyor L'Chumra is not just something you do without consequences. Meaning, I'll take care of Giyor L'Chumra, I'll be fine. It has consequences on other people. that are sometimes unknown and unanticipated. Okay, now let me...
A woman is mezana with a guy who doesn't create a mamzer?
Absolutely not. That's important. That's important to know. It's a machlekes in the Gemara. It's actually a machlekes in the Gemara. But the halacha is very clear that the child is not a mamzer. The only negative status the child has is that if she's a girl, she should not marry a guy. Yeah, that's important to know those halachas. Okay.
So she could stay married to her Jewish husband? She's mezana with a guy?
Yeah, yes. That's a machlokes, but that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Rabbeinu Tam says, perhaps in a uncomplimentary way, he says that zanus with a guy is considered to be bias behema, he says. And, if a woman who's mezana with a behema, she's allowed to stay married to her husband. All right, okay. I won't get into that now, but anyway. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, let me just mention, so as I say, so AID really cannot be recommended, even with Rav Moshe Saterem. Number one, he withdrew the heter. In Eretz Yisrael, certainly you have a Rav Yidden, anyway. And Mechur Hadavar by a guy, and if it's a Jew, Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, L'chol HaPachas, it's a Suffolk Mamzer. But let me just mention one area, which is a bit controversial, where AID might be contemplated. And again, it's not the most sneistic situation, but you may get it. You may get it. This may be a live Shaila. That is a single woman. A woman's not married. And she's getting older. And she is afraid that she will not have a chance to get married before her biological clock runs out. So she says she's from, let's say. She says, I don't wanna be mezana with somebody, that's not what I want to do. That's not right. But what about I go to an anonymous sperm bank, I get impregnated, I have a child, that's all. Like a virgin birth, right? So the question becomes So the question becomes, is there any eifin that a paisek or someone could matir? And again, I don't want to. Same shell as what?
You know the issue of offering her to her husband. He's still the same potential of a shasha.
Well, no, mamzerish you're not going to have either, because if she's not married,
he had a shasha, siblings married.
Let's talk about both sides of this. Now the thing is, again, one has to understand that one has to have rahmanis in this situation. In other words, one of the things you have to be as people who will be asked shilas or discussing issues at least, is you have to understand that even when the halacha says something's usher, you have to be margish. At least you cry with the person. Like Rav Shach used to say also that I can't do anything for you, but I can cry with you. That's a very, very important yisod, not to just look at things as abstract problems. Like you're doing calculations and send people away. It is a tzara. It's a tzara. People, So let me discuss the issue. So if you analyze it from the pure standpoint of halacha, so let's look at it both ways. If it's anonymous Jew, meaning Eretz Yisrael, you assume it's a Jew, but it's anonymous. So you do have the problem of ach noisei, achaisei. Okay. If it's non-anonymous Jew. So here's the thing, in other words, you don't have ach naisei achaisei, but you have a tremendous pretzis. In other words, for a woman to be impregnated with a guy that she knows, that already is too close to zinus. In other words, see, that's the thing. You want it to be anonymous, because that makes it less of a pretzis. On the other hand, the anonymity creates the potential of secret incest. What about a guy? So if you go with the cheshbon mechur hadavar, that's going to be the same.
Someone else can know.
Yeah, so here's the thing. So I want to point out that as you might guess, the Haredi Gedolim and the Poskim of the yeshiva world, by and large, consider it. They don't even write long tshuvas. They just say, chas v'shalom. But
with both,
no matter what they say, if you're a single woman to have children this way is a pirtza in Kedushas Yisrael, and they don't allow it at all. But there are some paiskim in the Dati Liumi worlds Rav Shirlo again. I mean, and Rav Shirlo makes an argument that al pi din, it should be okay. And he actually says, "Ach nosei achaisei," means there should be somebody, some agency that knows, so there could be a record, right? So you prevent ach nosei achaisei. But Rav Shirlo says there are two reasons al pi hashkafa why this should not be allowed. One reason is that, number one, this is an interesting shaila, is it al pi the hashkafa of the Torah to deliberately raise a child without two parents in the family? Now, of course, there are almanas people, right? And there are grushas, and there are situations. But l'chatchila, to bring a child into the world, especially without a father, l'chatchila, one does not create families that way. Chazal talk about the fact that there are gimel shutfin bi'adam, Aviv, V'imai, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu. And even though you could argue on a biological level, you have the Gimel Shutfim, sperm and egg, but it also refers to the idea of raising a child as well. So that's one problem. And the other problem is that would this create an excuse for women not to get married? Meaning, part of what pushes a woman to get married is the desire to have children. If you create matzavim, where you can have kids without getting married, you know, what effect would it have? So he has all sorts of rules. I mean, there's no yisayt for these rules, but he just makes up rules. He says he's willing to matter it. I mean, you know, he's willing to matter it if the woman has been dating seriously for at least 10 years and she's shown that she's mishtado to look for a husband seriously. So memeila b'shas hadchak, he was willing to matter it. So this is an issue that's being discussed, and In the modern Orthodox world, which in America is a strong and enlarging world in some ways, especially with Chovei Torah and other places like that, you're going to get more and more of these types of situations. Again, you have to have a Pesach. This whole set of shiurim is about. But there are svaris to matir, although, as I say, most of the gedolim regard it as a pirtza in the kedushas Yisrael. Yeah.
Is it going to cause? I mean, it's going to cause people to talk about it and say that you've been seen.
That's a cheshbon too. You're correct. It's good that you brought it up. There is a cheshbon.
People are not going to believe that she had this.
Right. There is a cheshbon of Marisayan and Maitzi Diba.
Maitzi Shemra.
Yeah, the question is, does she have a right to be Michael in that? That's an interesting question. I mean, meaning like this. If the only taina on her is people are going to say bad things about you, so the question becomes, is she a bailim to kind of be Michael?
She's causing people to talk.
So it's a lift neighbor. That's an interesting question. You're saying,
if I
do something that people are going to say Lashon Hara about, or Maitzi Shemra about me...
Did you inform them why you're doing it?
No, she's not. And people won't believe it. People won't believe it. People are going to say she didn't know.
40% of the babies born in Tel Aviv right now are to single mothers.
Yeah, but not through artificial insemination.
11%
of them are. 11%, okay.
40%?
Yeah.
Are we
going to
speak about?
No.
Yeah, we'll get to it. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but we'll go over these things.
People are going
to
say that she probably did snus.
Okay. Well, okay. I mean, what you're saying is a cheshbon. I mean, it is a cheshbon. The question is that enough of a yisayt to aser it to mamish? You know, it's an eitzah. Certainly, you'd have to factor it in, giving some reason.
Do you have any associates of people only down in the Gospels?
Well, there's a famous tshuva of Rav Meisher. Rav Meisher says about going to into a non-kosher restaurant for a business meal, where you're not eating. So the taina is somebody sees you walking in, isn't that gufa imar zayin? Rav Meisher Tainus, why are you mechuyev to assume that people will be chayshed you if you're a shomer kashrus? He says that's not marzeh. He says that's their problem for dining you not lekaf schus. So there might be a kain that, but it may depend as if this becomes more common. So your argument gets less.
No, I'm saying in a restaurant, there's chances of someone seeing you. Is very slight as opposed to a woman walking around pregnant, where everyone's going to see her and going to say that she's not.
I hear. I mean, okay, but still, there's. I mean, there are differences, but there are also similarities.
I had this child. The only difference was the person asking was not Shomer.
Was not what?
He was not Shomer. He wasn't from.
Yeah.
So he was asking.
asking similar. He was asking if he should put, if he, you know, he wanted to put on his yarmulke.
Yeah.
He was asking if he should put it on when he's going to a non-kosher restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Rav Moshe says, always take off your yarmulke. If you're doing an aveira, take off your yarmulke. He brings a raya from the, he calls it the Chil Hashem, if you're going into a movie or whatever, and he brings a raya. The Gemara Taka says, if a person can't be kaivish as Yetzer Hara, he should go to a makam she'ein makirin oso, a place where nobody knows him. He should dress yobash chayrim. In other words, and yasin mashalibir chafes. Now, avada chazal don't mean do the avera, but they're saying, but if you can't control yourself, then it's better to do it in an eifin where you won't be identified as a religious Jew. Yeah.
Isn't this right? He takes his yarmulke, he might even more than he would have done.
Yeah. It is a cheshver. There are diyunim in that. Maybe the yarmulke will be a break, like the Gemara has a maisa about the guy that was being mezana and his sisters hit him in the face. Yeah. It's a cheshver. It's an interesting. It's a difficult cheshver tactic. Is this going to stop me from going all the way, or will it be a chilul Hashem because I can't control myself? Yeah.
Is there a difference between what the Rav was mentioning about raising a child with just the mother?
Well, l'chayra, like this, l'chayra, you're noting a good point that even though women are not mitzvahin piri v'rivi, which is the doraisa, Tosfos says in Chagiga and Rav Basra in Gittin that a woman is mitzvah in the mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah, Nevi'im, l'sheves yitzara. Is she Makayim Loshevis with AID? The answer is yes. Probably yes. Yes.
And
yes.
That wouldn't have the problem of just having one parent?
Well, there would be a problem. In other words, all I'm saying is, but she is Makayim. I mean, Makayim Loshevis, but it could be, you know. But I want to mention one other thing. Let's go to the other side of the equation for one moment. AIH. What if she just wants husband and wife, Zara from the husband herself? Now, you might ask, what do you need AIH for? The husband's here. Well, not always. In other words, sometimes, for example, there may be what's called a low rate of motility. The zera is not yairik kechetz. It doesn't go powerfully enough. It may be a low sperm count. So by aggregating zera from the husband, it's shayach to have a greater chance of fertility. So here, there is a very, very important halachic shayla. We don't have to be marich in it so much. The issue basically is haitzah zera levatala. The issue is in order, right? In other words, if you're going to be maitzi the zera to then be machdis in her guf, but it's not coming out during tashmish, the question is there are afanim, problems of afanim. Now, as a general rule, the paiskim have said that mi'ikir hadin, it's not called levatala, because even if it's coming out not through tashmish, it's for the tachlis of Piri of Arivia. Again, we can talk about Pratim if anyone is a shy. We can talk about Pratim privately, huh?
Rav Paiskim say that?
Rav Paiskim say that, yeah. But there are still different rules about the Eifanim of how to be might see it. And I also want to warn people that the problem is that a lot of times doctors and clinics want a lot of testing. In other words, the etzem zera that's going to go to Piri of Arivia. So the Paiskim say that's not Levatola. But there's a lot of testing things. And therefore, Bidera Klali, a firm person, needs to stipulate that even if you're testing, you should use some of the ejaculate for actual
insemination
and the like. Okay. Now, this is the same if it's in vitro. I'm talking about AID, but AIH, but the same thing would be in vitro. AIH is when it's mamish injected into the woman, but today it's more common to do an in vitro, but it's the same issue. The Hotzah Seri Levatola is an important issue, and that's why some Paiskim say Ravaju is very extreme. He used to say that a husband should not give Zera this way till they were married for 10 years and didn't have a child. On the other hand, in later Chuvas, he said that's if you don't have an identifiable reason that he has a problem. If you know for sure that he has a designated problem, you're not mechuyev to wait. You only wait when you don't know, and therefore, you know, maybe there's no problem. Okay. Now, the next fertility technology, and again, we're still talking about husbands here, I'll get to donors, is in vitro fertilization, or IVF. And that simply means that the egg is removed from the woman and its fertilization occurs in the petri dish, and then it is transplanted into the rectum, and 9 months later, you get a child. Again, in vitro is fine. The only shiloh with in vitro is the hotzas zera levatala, and that, you know, you have to work out, etc. But in vitro per se, all the paiskim say that there is a kiyum. Well, not all. But rave paiskim say there is a kiyum of piri verivia. Granted, Rav Shlomo Zalman said you're not mechuyev to do an in vitro. See, in vitro does involve surgery, the surgery of the woman, because number one, she has to take a lot of hormonal drugs to increase her ovulation. And number two, there is a surgical extraction of the egg under general anesthesia. So there actually is a surgery. So if Shlomo Zalman's psak is very nogeya. One shaila, again, I'm going to have to save a lot of this for next time, but one big shaila is, however, is that ovulation, that you want to maximize the probability of successful fertilization. So because of this, what often happens is they'll give her drugs to cause ovulation, and there might be 20 eggs that are retrieved. And when the 20 eggs are exposed to sperm, you might have 10 eggs, lamushal, that are fertilized. Now the question becomes, if a judgment is made, you can only safely implant 2, 3, or even 4.
Law in America now is 3.
That a law? That's a law? Okay. Really? Okay, well. That's a law after the woman in California who had 8, right? Actor mom. They made a law after actor mom. Yeah. But anyway, but the thing is, and she also had a bunch of kids from before. Anyway, but the thing is that what do you do with the fertilized eggs? That's a very serious shaila. Is destroying them considered to be abortion? I'll mention some of the pratim here. Now, the truth of the matter is, bisman hazeh, it's a little easier, because now fertilized eggs can be frozen and theoretically used later. So even though they were fertilized at the same time, they could be several years apart.
You know, it's a question now. You have a question in 20 years from now. You still have the question.
Well, depending on how many there are, but if there are, let's say, 5 or 6, so you can say, oh, I'll take 2 this year and three next year. Yeah, it depends. But at least,
One second.
So you really have four options legally. There is destruction, which is going to raise at least a shiloh of abortion. We'll talk about it. There is freezing for later use, which is actually good. That's the same woman is going to use it, so that's kasader. The third is donation. And that's going to raise all sorts of problems about yichus, which we'll talk about, because giving them to another couple. And the fourth is experimentation, which is really the same thing as destruction. Destruction is letting it thaw. Experimentation is destroying it via diem. So those two are going to be the same type of problem. So we're going to see the only one that has no halachic problem, no problem, is freezing for later use. But sometimes the person may not want that. In other words, let's say this is already their 5th, 6th kid, 8th kid, whatever it would be. They don't want another 5. So we'll talk about Bekitzer, what you have to do and whether there's a problem. But at least these are shilas you have to be aware of. This is a main one. Now, some Paiskim have said, they've been very strict on this, they've said that you are not allowed to extract in an in vitro procedure more eggs than the woman is willing and her doctor agrees can safely be implanted in her now or in the future. Now that means if you follow that psak, number one, it greatly reduces the effectiveness of the in vitro, and that may mean that you'll need many more, you know, several more attempts at an in vitro because you've used fewer eggs. And you know, that can result in money as well, depending on how much insurance covers it. Yeah.
So could the woman be in Nida during
all the... Oh, very good, very good. Yeah, yes. And I'm glad you brought that up. So this is another big machlokas. This is nogeya both AIH and in vitro fertilization. It's nogeya both situations. And that is one of the fertility problems, which is really a halakhic fertility problem, is that even if man and wife are both fertile, and they're perfectly capable of having children, the woman might ovulate before she's able to complete the normal 12-day cycle, 5 days, Fevsik Taira, and Shiva Nikiyam. Let's say she ovulates on day 11 or whatever, or day 10 even, and Mimela, by the time she goes to the mikvah, she can no longer be fertile, right? Because she has a narrow window of 72 hours from ovulation. So in Hilchos Nida, you know, you have Chibur in Hilchos Nida, so you know, you've learned Hilchos Nida, so you know that there might be various heterim, how to make a Hefsek Taira early, and then have Zayin Nikiyam, okay, any different Nikudas. But one of the studim that's been suggested is, what about AIH, insemination during Nida, or even in vitro fertilization during Nida? Is that considered to be an Isser of Bayil Nida? Now, consistent with Rav Moshe's general on this, that Hachnasas Zera is not considered to be the same as a Maisa beer, many, many Paiskim do permit AIH, even into the woman's body, during Nida, and they also tanya that the Pagam of Ben Nida is not going to apply because there's no Bias Isser. Say again, didn't hear.
The Satmarav would hold that it is based on the
Satmarav. I believe so. The Satmarav didn't address it, but I believe the Satmarav would say. Now, Rav Vosner is Machmer. Rav Vosner does say it shouldn't be done during Nida. Some have said, very interesting, a compromise, a little risky. They have said like this. They have said that they were willing to matur it if the woman goes to the mikveh after 7 days from the beginning of the Nida, because Dairaisa, a Nida does not need Zayin Nikiyam. Right? Unless she's a Zava, but Bederek Klal, she's not a Zava Gedola. So Mimela, if she goes to the mikveh the night after the seventh day from the beginning of her period, so she was Yaitse Midei Nida Dairaisa. So Bechi Haigavna, even though there's Nisur to Rabbanan, but we would then matter artificial insemination as long as she's not a nida di arisa.
So some still also her husband.
And she's also her husband. So some consider that to be a wonderful eitza. Other consider it to be a very bad thing to do, because pumfakir, to matter a woman to go to the mikveh after 7 days, there's a big chashash that her husband might be nichshel to have bia with her mamish. So they say fakert, you bedafka don't matter it, right? So it goes different ways. Well, so some will answer it both ways, others...
She doesn't tell him.
This was Rav Vosner who said this,
right? No, Rav Vosner just said she can't do it during
the... She won't tell her husband that she went to the mikveh.
Right, she's going through fertility issues and then he won't have any clue.
Well... Yeah, but I don't hear what's going on. I mean, the husband is following a psak. He can only do this procedure short to the mitzvah, so she doesn't tell him. He's not, I mean, the procedure depends on the husband following this psak that she has to go to the mikvah, so she wouldn't be able to keep it. Okay? So, again, obviously, I'm not, this is not psak halacha lemaisa, but shilas, you know, but you're going to get these shilas. These are things that come up all the time. So, next week.
Did Ramesha speak about this?
Rav Moshe Madras. Now remember, if you remember, Rav Moshe anyway... Well,
he said
that wouldn't work for this.
Rav Moshe says it's not a Ben Nida?
Rav Moshe says it's not a Ben Nida, but this is not connected. Rav Moshe has another thing about Ben Nida, which is not connected to this, where Rav Moshe says that the average Baal Tshuva, or Balas Tshuva, does not have the Pagam of a Ben Nida, because you could be Taila that the mother went to a swimming pool. It reminds you of a cheshbon that b'diavad, but that actually wouldn't work with a frum woman who's keeping Muslim Nida. That wouldn't work with that. But there's not a Ben Nida for that for a different reason.
Hold it after 7 days, she went to the pool.
Yeah. Yeah. So next week we'll talk a little bit, which is the main thing I wanted to get to. All of this was a hakdama to the main topic. The main topic are in Yanim of Yichus, where you're using, we talked a little bit about AID, but in vitro fertilization, egg donation, and surrogacy. Where, see, with AID, you don't have yichus as the kid a Jew because the mother is Jewish. But when you have egg donation or surrogacy, you mamish have a very serious shaila: is the kid a guy or is the kid a Jew? Does the kid need a gerus? Because there you're redefining who the mother is. And that's a much more serious shaila than when the father might be a goy, because here you remember the shayla is the kid Jewish. Now I will tell you that egg donation, I mean, again, it's a mud nazach. There seems to be in Piskei Halacha a Torah Shebal Peh, a Torah Shebichsav. The Paiskim in writing are not so in favor of it. They talk about Irbuv of Mishpachas and confusion of Yichas. But in the field, on the ground, many, many, many from people, Haredim as well, Hasidim, are using donated eggs. And with Derech Klal from Goyim, but we'll discuss it. And the question becomes, according to many Paiskim, if the egg donor is a non-Jew, the child may need a geiris, but it's not borer how many of these kids are being converted. Because think about it psychologically. Unless someone is very meshubit to a paisek, if a Jewish woman carried the baby for 9 months, she doesn't look at the kid as someone who needs a geiris. I mean, she was carrying the baby for 9 months. And yet, al-pidin, or Shlomo Zalman Paskind, you need a gear l'chumra l'chalapachas. So we'll talk about it. Okay, so that'll be our...